Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
5:09 on this Wednesday evening. Still a little bit of light out there. We are crossing that. Maybe you guys have convinced me after that discussion about which month is the worst month of the year. Maybe February is not so bad. Maybe not. Rusty is hanging around with us in for Laura today. And Rusty, when I think about you, I think that you are a great musical pop culture mind, true?
I like good music, yes.
How do you feel about Rochester's own Young Gravy?
I honestly could not tell you if something was playing, I would not know that it's him. I only know of him from people on Twitter tagging themselves in pictures with him saying, look, I met Young Gravy. And I'm like, I don't know who this is. But good for him.
I would like to meet Young Gravy.
Okay.
And it is sort of surprising considering the circles I travel in that I have yet to meet.
I know.
Mr. Gravy. But Young Gravy. So Young Gravy is popular, I think partially because he is very funny. Okay. So he is this sort of, looks like he was ripped out of 1978 and just dropped into the present day.
Okay.
He's got like the wavy blondish hair, strawberry blonde, tightly trimmed beard and mustache. And he is very popular on TikTok because, well, he likes hot moms.
Oh, it's like you have
at least
a twin,
that's his bet. That's his bet. Yeah. So there are these sort of 20-somethings who will post a video and like try to hook Young Gravy up with their mothers. So that's that.
Okay.
You know, whatever it takes, right? Whatever it takes to move some music. So he has this song called Get Money. It's called Betty. Let's play the open to the song.
Never let you down, baby.
It's Young Gravy.
Hey, what's your baby mama at the crib and blow her back out?
Shorty. All right, so you get, and right away you say, Rusty, you say, you just got Rickrolled, right?
I've heard this before. Yeah.
You've heard it before.
Yeah.
So Young Gravy is being sued by Rick Astley.
Oh.
Rick Astley did indeed allow, I guess, Young Gravy, which, by the way, do I sound like I'm 1,000 years old talking about Young Gravy?
No, perhaps. You know more about him than I do.
All right. So Young Gravy got the rights to use sort of Never Gonna Give You Up, the 1987 song. So he secured the rights, and they call it interpolation. Interpolation. So you are allowed to, you get the rights to the underlying musical work without using the actual song. So it sounds like Young Gravy is sampling Never Gonna Give It Up, right? But he's not. He's re-recorded it. There's a new singer. There's new artists. It's an interpolation. It's not a sample. It's cheaper to get the rights. It's legally easier to get the rights. Because if you get the rights to the original recording, that can be more complicated. With an interpolation, it's just the songwriters and the publisher that has to approve it. So Rick Astley himself never was going to give the rights up.
I see what
you did
there. Yeah.
Wasn't that good? Yeah. So let's play Rick Astley, and then you tell me if you think this is too much. Here's the 1987 hit, Never Gonna Give You Up. It sounds exactly the same, doesn't it?
I think so.
So this is very common in music now. There's a Cardi B, Bad Bunny, J Balvin song, I Like It, that most people think, oh, it's got a sample of this song, I Like It, like that. But it doesn't. It's a re-recording. It's a dupe. It's a fake, but it's sort of legal. So Rick Astley suing Young Gravy is sort of funny, right? You're like, Rick Astley, come on, man. Nostalgia is so big right now. If you think about so many pop songs using, now to you and me, Rusty, nostalgia, it's sort of sad because you're like, these songs aren't that old. Like there's a Lotto song called Big Energy that uses a song from the Tom Tom Club. But, and you're like, these samples aren't that old. There's a guy, Jack Harlow, with the song First Class, you may have heard. Do you know Jack Harlow?
I know of Jack Harlow, yes.
Yeah. That samples Glamorous by Fergie. But they're doing these dupes. So this is it's a very interesting legal case. I don't know. When you hear these two songs, and obviously I'm on Team Gravy because he's a Minnesotan. But if you're Rick Astley, you got to be like, hey, man, like if I don't get paid for this, it's pretty darn close to a straight up ripoff, don't you think?
It seems like a ripoff to me. I would have to side with Rick on this because it's like, what are you doing? You told me, you know, the arrangement was one thing and you're doing another. So could this open the door for other artists to then be sued?
Well, all these songs, right?
Yeah.
So the idea of an interpolation is like, hey, I'm inspired by this song. I'm going to maybe re-record part of it, or I'm going to use this hook. But if you're what these artists are doing today is essentially recreating original recordings. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Like it definitely, on the one hand, it's going to hinder creativity.
Right.
Right. Because this is a creative reuse, re-recording it. Play the young Gravy again, Chris. So this, the Young Gravy song, it is like, I don't think anyone would hear this song and say, oh, this is Rick Astley. It's not that.
Gravy, but, why you out of pocket? Stop it.
I know.
I'm getting money.
But that sounds like Rick Astley, doesn't it?
Never take an L no more.
Absolutely.
I don't know. 100%. I think. Yeah. So you're like, well, this is sort of this cheeky song. Like, I don't think anyone really. Although, if you hear that, maybe you do think, ah, that's Rick Astley. I don't know. I think it's very interesting. Like, the fact is that for a long time, musicians have expressed creativity by sampling, and you have to pay for it, right? Because you're using somebody else's work.
Absolutely. Sure.
This is like you're sort of paying, sort of not. It's very interesting.
It's like paying for one movie and then going to see three, like you probably did back in the day, right? I mean, it's just like you're paying for this much with the understanding right. that this is what I'm doing. And I don't agree with that. I you're right. It's stealing creativity, in my opinion.
Normally, I side with the new artist because often I think when you have, you know, how many chords are there? How many progressions are there? So you think like, these people who come and say, oh, I had this song idea before you did. And you're like, well, they did it better than you. Too bad. Hmm. Like, I don't have a lot of sympathy for that. In this case, it's really, really interesting. Like, you paid for the rights to use the song, but not the voice, right, and not sample the original song. And now you're just trying to make it sound exactly like, it seems on the edge.
And pass it off as your own. I can't, you know, I'm not okay with that. I really think, I'd like to see what happens with this. And you know, I mean, come up with a different idea. Come up with something. And if you sample it, great. But if you just take it and record, basically it sounds like someone yelling over the Rick Astley is what it sounds right. like to me. Now I sound like I'm 1,000 years old. But that's what
but
it sounds
sort
like
of,
to me.
It sort of does, yeah.
You know? You know, I would hate to see all that music and all that creativity and all the rights to whatever, whoever owns what. And, you know, a lot of these artists right. are selling the rights to their music to cash in, you know.
You feel like there's got to be a way to do it where, like, you could pay a certain amount up front, maybe a lower cost. And if the song becomes a hit, Like, then you pay a piece of the action, you know?
How close are we to the music industry just turning into, okay, here we go. Here's a catalog of beats, and here's a catalog of opening sequences. And you just take what you want, you pay a subscription fee, and then you can just throw your voice on whatever you want, because something new will come out tomorrow, and it'll just get moved down the chain. I mean, I think that's
–
why don't we just do that if that's what we're going to do to other people's
If that's
music.
What we're going to reduce it to,
No thanks.
Well, it's sort of like a radio news reporter, though. To create a story, you use your own words, you use natural ambient sound, you use interviews. So you're sampling all these different things together to create a different product.
Mm-hmm.
And so a musician is sort of doing, has the ability to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if we
use a photo from someone, we have to go through those proper channels.
We've
used audio from TV, or we use audio that other reporters have gathered in a gaggle situation where there's 10 microphones up there and we just didn't happen to be there. And there was it was in public and it was fine. But we try to give credit when we need to give credit to Star Tribune, WCCO TV, things like that. But we're not paying
one
publisher.
One texter says it's shameful that a young artist can't do anything original. I think young gravy needs some mashed potatoes. Yeah, maybe true.
Touche.
Very good. Rusty, thank you. We're going to do the D-Rush Hour News headlines, where we gleefully steal from other sources, but we do give credit as well. We'll do that in just a minute here on News Talk 830 WCCO. 5:24, time for the D-Rush Hour News headlines, and the used car party for dealers may be over, but might be great news for the rest of us. Exactly. New York Times reporting that sales and prices of used cars are falling. The dealers that specialize in that are feeling some pain, too. About a year ago, the used car business was a bit of a party. COVID, computer chip shortage forced automakers to stop or slow production of new cars. So a lot of us went used. Prices surged, but now we're buying fewer cars as interest rates go up, fears of a recession grow, and there are plenty of new cars out there now as production is back. Used car values fell 14% last year. They're expected to drop more than 4% this year. The buying and selling of used cars, I did not realize how big of a business this is. Cox Automotive expects about 36 million used vehicles will be sold in the United States this year. When it comes to new vehicles, it's less than half of that sold in 2023. CarMax buying fewer used cars, trying to keep margins at the expense of volume. Carvana, they are in trouble and have been... Some analysts think they're going to file for bankruptcy. A Twin Cities suburb facing more problems with police turnover than most suburbs, and now they're turning to the county for help. Is it wokeness out of control in Golden Valley, or stuck in their ways officers mad about having to go through anti-racism efforts? Maybe the answer is a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. You don't exactly think of Golden Valley as a high crime area or high stress for officers. Star Tribune reporting that that suburb, it's got about 22,000 residents. They have budget for 31 officers. Two resigned last month, so they only have 17. And not all 17 are on active duty, so we don't really know how many officers they have in Golden Valley. Star Tribune reporting on this during a special city council session. Police Chief Virgil Green outlined some ideas to deal with the shortage while the city works to hire, train, and keep existing officers. A lot of calls that the cops get in Golden Valley are theft or parking complaints. So community service officers, civilians, will handle those. Many other calls are for medical issues, and so the fire department will respond to more medical calls. The city's also going to ask Hennepin County deputies to take shifts in Golden Valley to help police respond to calls. In late November, Golden Valley released the results of an external investigation, and it detailed what the Strib characterized as the officers' blasé attitudes towards racism and resistance that they had to anti-racism efforts. One former officer violated the department's professional conduct policy, the city's respectful workplace policy, and the Minnesota Government Data Practices Act. The mayor, Shep Harris, connected some of the department's challenges to resistance to reform and anti-racism training. They say like former cops are bad-mouthing the city, too, on social media platforms. College apartment buildings sure have changed since I went to school at Marquette in Milwaukee.
You gotta fight for your right to party.
Yeah, well, that hasn't changed. They are still partying. A developer bought 10 homes and small buildings in Dinkytown is building a 1,000-bed apartment complex right across from Bierman Field Athletic Building. 324 units from studios to five-bedroom. By the way, a five-bedroom college apartment, just file that under bad idea. It just sounds like a terrible, terrible idea. Landmark Properties is going to start construction this year. 17-story building called The Standard, opening fall of 2025. Listen to the amenities. Outdoor pool with sun deck. There will be cabanas and grill stations on the outdoor rooftop. They'll have a hot tub. Also, five-bedroom college apartment plus rooftop hot tub. Youch. This is a parent nightmare. There's a fitness center, a computer lab, gaming lounge, study lounge, parking garage, too. Lots of new apartment buildings going up around Dinkytown a block away. There's a 300-unit apartment complex under construction in Stadium Village, a 16-story tower with 610 units in it. So lots going on near the U of M. Andrew Hazard in the Sahan Journal writing about nine Minnesotans from diverse backgrounds, all fighting climate change and all featured in a new documentary.
Hi, I'm Yesenia Robles Pelayo.
My name's Whitney Terrell.
My name is Jose Villar.
I'm Emily Water.
Chris Phillips.
Jan Hagerman.
Robert Blake.
I'm Josina Harris.
My name is Alborian Jai.
There's Jan Hagerman, who works at the Habitat for Humanity Restore, who texted us in our 3 o'clock hour today. This documentary was screened. There was a preview of it screened as part of the Great Northern Festival, which is the awesome kind of middle of winter celebration of all things cold and north. This documentary is produced by Project Drawdown. Drawdown is the point where global greenhouse gas emissions stop rising and begin to decline. Drawdown. You heard some of the voices in here, and the idea is that amplifying the voices of the underserved communities that are harmed by pollution can be a powerful way to pressure and influence people in power. It is 5:31. That's the D-Rush Hour news headlines. When we come back, we are going to talk about what is going on in Memphis, Tennessee, and what's going on when it comes to police and reform. Tyre Nichols laid to rest, his funeral today. We will be joined by a former officer who has become one of the nation's biggest voices talking about reforming police from the perspective of a former black police officer. Mark Claxton joins us in just a moment here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Tyre Nichols was laid to rest today in Memphis, his funeral roughly 3 weeks after he died, after a beating by police that many of us saw on video. It has sparked protest. It has sparked a renewed call for reform in policing. But here in Minnesota, this renewed call feels like a conversation that we've been having for years since the murder of George Floyd. And I have been struggling with a feeling of hopelessness that if watching George Floyd be murdered as officers stood by didn't provoke massive change, then what hope is there going forward? What do we take from this murder of Tyre Nichols? We bring in a retired NYPD detective who is now the director of the Black Law Enforcement Alliance, Mark Claxton, on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Mark, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for the invitation to come on. I appreciate it.
Do you share, I mean, you know, you've been a part of these conversations for certainly before the murder of George Floyd. But here in Minnesota, there is a little bit of feeling of like, well, if George Floyd didn't stop this kind of stuff, there's some skepticism that much will change in the wake of what happened to Tyre Nichols.
Yeah, that is a perfectly understandable sentiment. I mean, it's sort of like the way that I feel about gun reform in this country. You know, after Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting, if we couldn't come up with gun reform after, you know, those young folk were assassinated, killed brutally in that setting, then what hope do we have to get it done? So it's the same sentiment here. This is a problem that has been ongoing for decades, and the concerns of primarily the black and brown community have been expressed for many years, and many recommendations and many solutions have been offered, and there's very little to show for it, to be honest with you. I think the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act legislation, which is tamed down from what a lot of more progressive-minded activists and people were looking for, but if that couldn't even get passed, then I don't know what of substance can get through Congress and get into added to this police reform effort that's going on across the nation, supposedly.
Mark Claxton is with us. You know, Mark, we had a debate here as to whether or not it sort of got boiled down to whether we want to abolish police. But I think the question that a lot of us struggle with, and look, I love police. I've had nothing but great interactions with police. I am a middle-aged suburban white guy. So, you know, that is part of the reality of that situation. My question is about, I think it was easier for people to dismiss some of the violence that we've seen, police towards our neighbors, as a racist cop. This cop must have been racist. The conversation changes when you have five black officers doing this to another black neighbor of theirs. Does this leave you with the idea that there's something fundamentally wrong with policing? Is there something fundamentally wrong with training or with these small units? We've seen kind of controversy and scandal in these specialized, like, you know, gang task force or that sort of thing. What do you take from this to try to move forward?
Well, first off, there is no doubt, and it's well established and documented that race plays a major role in policing and law enforcement in general, and that very same issue of race, which we just refuse to confront, address, deal with, or learn from, will have significant impact moving forward in the profession of policing. But what causes these type of brutal, and let's be clear about something, it's a lynching. When you have a mob assault that leads to the death of a person, that's a lynching. And what leads to these lynchings by police, caught on video, is toxic police culture. It's the toxicity that's built into the system of the modern day policing, you know, and this is really an outdated kind of model, you know. So those people there are a few people talking about abolition of police. There are a few people who gained some momentum talking about defunding police and all that. But I think most people are of the mindset that we need to change and shift how we provide security to the citizens. We need to shift away from this heavy-handed, what has become over-militarized, kind of data-driven, lock them up and throw away the key mode of policing. We need to shift towards a public safety model, which would incorporate a whole series of other disciplines, which would address issues of mental health, which would at least examine the impact that poverty has on driving crime numbers. It would also provide additional social service support for communities who are living in poverty or experiencing increased crime rates. It would remove police officers from this kind of innocuous, non-criminal enforcement. So like what's being done in Philadelphia and proposed in San Francisco and other places, like why are police still stopping people or addressing and having interactions based on low-level vehicle infractions? It's a recipe for disaster. When you're
and by low level, we're talking about things like your taillight is out or your tabs are expired, that kind of
That's right. And, you know, so and now we're at the age really where technology can really provide the best kind of support and enforcement for those type of infractions.
Yes.
But most importantly, it would just minimize these kind of interactions that all too often lead to fatal encounters. There are things that need to be done, discussed, talked about and enacted that can minimize the risk of danger here. But we always are going to have and confront the idea about racism, race, and the role that it plays, even in this particular case. And finally, this is unprecedented where you have a black victim. That's common. But black police offenders, multiple black police offenders, and a black police chief. This scenario is begging for a little further examination of the role of their race plays and the impact that race has on creating this toxic police culture.
Yeah, I mean, that's the toughest thing to grab onto here. It's one thing to say, well, this was a bad cop and there's a history of him. You know, our officer, Derek Chauvin, had a history of, violent interactions with people. And you could look at that and say, like, well, was he racist? I don't know. Was he unchecked? It seems that way. Are there problems with the way we handle discipline of officers who are problems? Yes. Those are things you feel like you can address. What I struggle with is that people are so entrenched on this. You have some voters who say, well, how about comply? And then, if Tyre Nichols had just been arrested, he would be alive. And then you have some people who's, the officers right now feel like they're being picked on and they don't have support from the community. It's just everybody kind of goes in their corner and you feel like, can't we try to do some things? And we have done some things to improve things, but I just struggle that people are so entrenched and so defensive. Yeah, like we're trying to make it better for everybody.
Sure. I think a lot of people just don't see that there is a tremendous amount of room for negotiation. An active and ongoing negotiation about what our public safety would look like and what can be.
It's the whole system to you, the whole way we respond. It's not just one thing that can fix this.
It's an institutional cancer, the manner in which we continue to police in this day and age. It's outdated. It doesn't work. It's not efficient. It's not effective. And you can't quantify success based on these small units that people that they tend to refer to as elite, which they aren't elite. But these smaller units tend to quantify their success based on how many stops that they engage in with people, or how many arrests that they make, or how many summonses they may issue. And that's not a proper way to gauge what success is in the context of public safety.
Yeah. Yeah. In a way, we're counting failures is what we're counting.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
Mark Claxton is the director of the Black Law Enforcement Network. I appreciate your time and your insight, and just remind people again, you are a former detective. You've walked the walk. You've walked the beat. You've been out there with officers and with your neighbors, and we got to do better. That's all. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate you.
5:49 on this first day of February. Back in a minute here on Drive Time with DeRussia. Wherever you get podcasts, check us out. We'd love if you'd subscribe. Just search DeRussia. You can get the regular radio show or just our food coverage, DeRussia Eats. Leave us a review. We'd appreciate that, too. Twins Hot Stove Show coming up, then the Timberwolves hosting the Golden State Warriors.
Be Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.